Nee, Sudomanzi het gewaarsku dat die voortsleepende beurtkrag watertoevoer in Mbombela affekteer. Fase 4 is vanoggend 10 uur heringestel en ten minste 5 uur donderdag tot en met dan. Ons gesels met Sudomanzi woordvoerder Richmond Jelly. How are you doing, Richmond?
I'm okay. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. And good afternoon, listeners.
Good afternoon. Now, stage 4 load shedding affects the purifying of pumping of water much more than phase 2. What happens during a prolonged stage 4?
Well, in essence, even if there is stage 2 load shedding or any load reduction of any kind, it simply means that there is no electricity power which we need in order to run the big pumps that draw water from the river, that spin the water inside the treatment plant where we put in the chemicals, and all those big machines aren't able to function without electricity. Unfortunately, we can't use a generator because you'll need multiple high-powered generators in order to continue to operate them. So whenever there is any outage of any kind, we do suffer very, very seriously. The unfortunate part here is that when there is load shedding or load reduction, it moves on from one zone to the next. For example, if the area around which our water treatment works is located, is being load shed, whereas maybe Son Park or the suburbs have electricity, it still means that we can't get water out of the plant into the suburbs. And when the electricity is back on at the plant, but it is off in some other parts of the city, then it means that our pump stations, which are positioned in order to pump water further up the hill or up the mountain into the reservoir, it means that they will have no electricity. In that instance, then we've got to run around with smaller generators and try to power them on.
Yes.
And we don't have enough generator capacity. We only dedicate them to the sewer, to the outfall sewer pump station, so that the sewer does not cause any damage to the environment and spill over into our streams and so on.
Gosh, this is a vicious circle, isn't it, Richmond? It affects so many stages.
It is. Unfortunately, we have tried to speak to the authorities to try and plead with Eskom so that the water treatment facilities, which are considered essential facilities, should be exempted and excluded from load shedding or load reduction. Unfortunately, we have not been able to make any success in that regard. So hence, we are experiencing this crushing load shedding now and again. Fortunately for Nelspruit, we do have 24 hours up to 48 hours storage capacity in our reservoir. However, the other areas aren't so lucky because they don't have such storage capacity. The infrastructure in those areas like Kanyamazane, Pinar, and Matsulu is operating far beyond its designed capacity. So every time there is load shedding in those areas, it means the water distribution schedule for those areas just goes into havoc. If there was some community that was scheduled to receive water today because they get water maybe once a week, it means they might not get it this week entirely. They might only get it the following week, so which creates a very serious problems in terms of customer satisfaction.
Which areas are being affected right now and how?
Right now in town so far, it's only a couple of isolated best pipes there and there which are being attended to and repaired. Right now in town, we do have sufficient storage capacity, except for a couple of days ago. I think it was last week as well as early this week, when we had very extended power outage, which therefore forced the reservoir to drop in such a very critical low level. But however, at this stage, Nelspruit seems to be okay. However, the other areas outside of Nelspruit, Pinar, Kanyamazane, Msokwaba, right up to Kabokweni Themba Hospital, those areas are seriously affected.
Are they affected more than others?
I think they are, because obviously Number one is the issue of the infrastructure.
Mm.
The design capacity of the infrastructure is far lower than the increased population. And then the other factor is that in those areas, unfortunately, the communities have now resorted to making their own illegal water connections into pump lines. Pump lines are those pipes that are only dedicated to filling up a reservoir and not supplying a stand with water, because the water is high pressured. So therefore, they make these illegal connections on water pump lines, which unfortunately, therefore, delays the time which it takes to fill up a reservoir. And if you do try to open water supply to the community with a reservoir that is sitting at less than 50%, only a few people will get the supply, and there will not be enough pressure in the system for the water to reach each and every corner of that community.
You're asking residents to use water sparingly. Exactly how must we do that, and what should we do?
I think as I start, let's make sure that, for example, in the small little things that we do in the house, there's some people that have a tendency of letting the tap run whilst they're standing by, brushing their teeth, waiting to rinse them out. Rather use a jug, fill up a jug, and then brush your teeth and then rinse them out. And then some other people, when they use the toilet, if even if they've not done much, they just flush the whole system empty. Whereas you can just only, you know, flush just a little bit if it was only number one, and then leave the system as it is. Or you can put in a brick inside the system so that it looks like it has filled up to the top, to the brim. And then when you flush, obviously the pressure will ensure that everything in the toilet is flushed away. But at least you use lesser water than if you are not putting a brick or some other solid object inside the system itself. And then obviously washing cars, watering or irrigation lawns, or using a hose pipe to clean your paving and so on. Rather use a broom to sweep your paving instead of using a water pipe. And then let's try to plant
flowers that don't need a lot of water.
That are drought tolerant. Let's not buy flowers that need lots of water on a daily basis. And of using purified water, let's rather you can take water that has been used previously inside the household and use it to water our flowers in our small garden patch, or even the lawn for that matter. And then let's try to, when you water the lawn, try to do it early in the morning before the sun is up, or late in the afternoon. Don't do it during the day when it is so hot, because all of that water is going to evaporate.
Yeah.
And your grass is going to remain dry, and you're going to have to do it again and again. And then another thing, which is most important, please check your internal plumbing. This is a problem that we experience almost every month.
Yes.
Customers do not check their internal plumbing. Sometimes the contractors that build our houses use cheaper material in order to save costs. For example, there is this pipe, orange pipes, that are called polycarb pipes.
Yes.
That look orange in color. Yeah. If they are exposed to the sun,
they corrode,
or to the environment, they break, and then they are brittle, and then they leak, and then they waste a lot of water. So try to use very good HDPE pipes, very good quality plastic pipes, and avoid these polycarb pipes. In other countries, actually, they have been banned. So make sure you check your meter on a regular basis to see if there is any movement when there is nobody in the household that is using water. If there is any movement, however slight it may be, that will indicate that you've got a leak inside your property. And as the owner of the property, you are responsible for the repair of all internal leaks. You can only repair a leak at the meter or before the meter. Anything after the meter is the responsibility of the customer. To avoid a high bill at the end of the month, please check your plumbing, check your meter on a regular basis to ensure that whatever leak you pick up is immediately identified and fixed immediately, so that you save the cost.
Very good advice. Now, Richmond, there is no way to plan. As you know, stage 4 could carry on, but Will the situation worsen the longer phase four continues?
I'm not in a position to predict what either ESCOM or the authorities may decide to do. But judging by the fact that ESCOM is almost in the red with billions of rands, some municipalities are owing ESCOM billions of rands, and there's not been any further investment in the electricity infrastructure and so on. So it looks like we're going to be stuck with the situation for quite some time, unless if maybe some greater strides are made in alternative forms of power supply, like recycled renewable energy sources and so on. With the situation as it is, and the losses that ESCOM is suffering as a result of illegal connections in other areas, it doesn't look like the situation will improve very soon.
Thank you so much for your time, Richmond, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. I'm very privileged. Thank you very much for inviting us, and thank you to your listeners.